associate pastor of a large church had sought out a capital fundraising consultant to help them in its ambitious campaign for a new building. And the strategist had proposed a strategy in the first session that they had. He wanted the stewardship team to visit every home in the church. And immediately, he was met with resistance. One of the cynical members of the team said that this church had a high percentage of people who were on fixed incomes, and they couldn't be expected to pledge, argued that you shouldn't go visit them. They do enough already. So in the meeting, the consultant asked for permission in confidence to see a list of major givers in the church. And at the next meeting, he told the stewardship team that he had analyzed the giving patterns and so forth and said this, quote, "Please note that the majority of your top 50 contributors are widows on fixed incomes. According to my calculations," he said, "those widows on fixed incomes give about 60% of the congregation's annual budget." And then he said, "I'd say if you wanted to improve giving and raise money for this building, you need to talk to those women first and find out why they give, and then try to infect the congregation with the faith of these widows on fixed incomes. Because these women in that church, they took stewardship seriously." Stewardship is one of those words we don't talk about a lot. It's important, though. And it's not something that we might talk about in our everyday conversations. It would probably use words more like manage or to oversee or to be responsible for or to take care of. And those are all very good ways to understand what stewardship means. It's simply to be responsible for something or someone. I like this definition. Stewardship is to be be entrusted with responsibility. Just like Ms. Kiara was talking about in the children's message, when you have a puppy, there's a lot of responsibility. And how many of us have asked for a new puppy or a pet, "I'll take care of it," and only to find out all of that responsibility that comes. All right? I remember in our house growing up, same thing. We find stewardship in both testaments, the Old and the New. The word in the Old Testament translated stewardship is radah, R-A-D-A-H, radah, which means to exercise dominion. We'll unpack that a little later in the message. Basically, radah means to exercise dominion, and we find that in the passage that we just heard from Genesis. In chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the other creation." And that word translated rule over is radah. It means to be responsible for. God gave human beings responsibility to care for life. Verse 28, we find the same thing. "God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, every living creature." In the New Testament, we find it translated from the word oikonomos, which is a compound word from oikos, nomos. Oikos means house, and nomos means law or rule. So it means to manage or oversee. It's where we get the English word economics. How we're responsible for the things in our household or in our church or even beyond in our communities, in our government, and so forth. A number of passages that we can refer to, but two of them are in the New Testament, 1 Peter 4:10 and 1 Corinthians 4:1 and 2. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Oikonomos. And in 1 Corinthians 4:1 and 2. Think of it this way. Think of us in this way, Paul writes, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. I kind of like the, I like word study, and I kind of like the English root where all this comes from, how we find the word stewardship in English. It's from the Old English, and it's from two words, sty and ward. Sty, ward, steward. A sty was an enclosure or a pen where you would keep animals. Particularly, it referred to where pigs would stay. And a ward is a keeper. And it's often translated early on as one who managed the pigs, who kept the pigs' sty. Meaning, my room in high school, I managed a very effective pigsty. And my mom, if you talk to her, she would say that she was always asking me to clean my room. Unfortunately, it was not high on my list of priorities. Funny, though, how it changes when you have your own house. Once you grow up and you buy your own house, then you kind of look around and now I know what my mom was trying to teach me all those years ago. Maybe this origin of the word explains why, for some reason, pigs and money go together, as in piggy bank, or bring home the bacon, or living high on the hog, or you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. I was wondering how many of you all might have remembered that. Some of you know that saying too. In church, we use stewardship to refer to the way we manage the life, the time, the talents, and the resources, the financial resources God gives us. So during this series, we launched it last week, Nurturing God's Gifts. We're diving deeper into each of these types of stewardship, whether it's relationships, which we're talking about today, our schedule, our spiritual gifts and abilities, and our wealth. Whether we're talking about one of, no matter which one of those we're talking about, there is a larger theological foundation that must be in place for our Christian lives and for our churches, and that is this. The foundational principle of biblical stewardship: God is the owner of all things. God owns it all. It's all from God. Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. God is the owner of all things. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. If you watched the solar eclipse last week, you saw that that solar eclipse moved across North America very quickly. God does not change like that. God is constant. God is unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said this: when the possessor of heaven and earth brought you into being and placed you into this world, he placed you here not as an owner, but as a steward. As such, he entrusted you for a season with goods of various kinds, but the sole property of these still rests with him. Wesley continues, nor can ever be alienated from him, as you are not your own, but his, such as likewise of all you enjoy. I can summarize that little paragraph in one sentence. We are all renters. We are all renters. We are entrusted with everything that God gives us for a season. And then we are called to be with Him in heaven. And hopefully we have been good stewards here on the earth. Do y'all know Lance Watson, pastor of St. Paul's Baptist Church out in the East End? Our staff and several others went out to St. Paul's Episcopal during the Lenten season and heard Dr. Watson give one of the Lenten series talks. But years ago, I heard him speak at, I believe it, Philip, it might have been 21C conference, but it was years ago. I think you probably were there. That's before we knew each other. But I remember Dr. Watson said this, I'm a temporary employee for the kingdom of God. What a great line from such a faithful pastor. If all that they have seen God do at St. Paul's, and to say, I'm just a temp employee for the Father in heaven. I've never forgotten it. In other words, everything we have is on loan from God. We were created to be stewards. We manage what God has entrusted to us. It involves material things, and it involves relationships or relational things. First, if you're taking notes, you can jot a few things down. First point to remember is this. Stewardship involves material things. Back to Genesis chapter 1, God said, let them rule over the life which I've created, which I've given to them. In verse 28 of chapter 1, we can translate that, let them subdue all I have given. And then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, this is the second creation story in the book of Genesis. Same big story, a little bit different perspective. In verse 15, chapter 2, God placed man in the Garden of Eden, and the Bible says that God gave humans the ability to work it, to work creation. Avad is the Hebrew word, and then to take care of it, which is another word, shamir. So to rule over or to work the land or to take care of it. And the psalmist in verse Psalm 8, which you heard Pastor Philip read at the beginning, echoes this. It's a creation psalm. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them rulers over the work of your hands. There's the word. Rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild and the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and all that swim in the paths of the seas. God has given us a stewardship. This concept of stewardship or responsibility involves more than things. It's about people. It's about life. It's about people. As followers of God, as Jesus' followers and His children, we are to be stewards of life. We are to make a positive impact on the world, reflecting God's likeness in our words and in our deeds. So the second thing we can say is it involves relationships. Relationships are part of the life God has created around us. That we would be good stewards of our families and our fellow church members and those whom God calls us to serve. This same word can reflect how we're to care for one another. We're to seek and uphold the shalom, is the Hebrew word refers to it, or the well-being or the wholeness of humanity. Respecting the dignity of the other person. Every person has value. Every person has worth. When we see something that might be wrong, we can come along and let's get together and help make it right. Certainly, this is what Micah meant when he wrote, do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:8. And what Jesus meant when he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Matthew 5:6. God calls us as a body of Christ to come together to see the wrongs out in the world and with his help to make them right. Thinking about relationships, do you remember the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4? Cain took his brother's life. And in Genesis 4:9, as he's responding to God, he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Meaning, am I responsible for him? Do I need to know where he's at, what he's up to? And God's saying, yes, you do. We are our sisters and brothers' keepers. We are responsible for one another. We are responsible to help one another. In the book, The Very Good Gospel, Lisa Sharon Harper describes 4 implications of living this out, of helping live out the Tov Ma'od of creation, where God says it's very good. Simply, she says this. First, we acknowledge that all humanity is created in the image of God. Second, all humanity is created with the call and the capacity to exercise dominion. Third, she writes, to diminish the capacity of humans to exercise dominion is to diminish the image of God on the earth. And fourth, she says, if humanity is created in the image of God's likeness, then the way we exercise dominion should reflect God's kind of dominion. In other words, live like Jesus. It should maintain that the overwhelming well-being of all is at the utmost. It should not be to advance or privilege ourselves, to exercise dominion, to have stewardship responsibilities, is to be in the likeness of God. It's to break with our selfish, prideful tendencies and to seek to be like God. And we look to none other than Jesus to see these fulfilled. Jesus was compassionate. Jesus desired to be with those who were among the least of these. He was criticized for healing on the Sabbath, persecuted for dining and associating with people who were considered sinners. And yet, that's the example we have. So we steward with God's help, all of the things that he's given us. We're all renters. And we steward the people around us who are created in the image of God. And in all things, we are seek to be the hands and feet of Jesus. There's a story post-World War II of a church in Strasbourg, France, that was totally destroyed. But it had a statue of Jesus. And when people were going through all of the rubble, the statue was whole, except the hands had both been broken off. When the church was rebuilt, a famous sculptor came along and said, "I can recreate the statue with the right hands, and it won't look like it had ever been damaged." But the church considered that option, and they decided not to do that. They decided to leave the statue standing as it was, Christ with no hands. For they said, "Christ has no hands but our hands to do his work on earth. If we don't feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, entertain the stranger, visit the imprisoned, and clothe the naked, who will?" This is a reference to a poem entitled "Christ Has No Body" by St. Teresa of Avila, who lived in the 1500s. She was a Carmelite nun and spiritual reformer in Spain. Listen to her poem. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks, compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. And the question for us is this. Our very lives belong to God. How will we invest them? How will we steward them to make this world a better place?